Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Lip scare ya. Machado or Bono or no.
Get out your banjo or your bass guitar, your drums, your instrument of choice. It's a music show today. I don't know if you guys have seen the notes, but it's all music references.
Is it like good music or is it like stuff that Adamazer
likes? I'm trolling. Yeah, it's stuff that Adamazer likes.
Okay, yeah,
yeah,
so it's bad music.
I'm specifically trolling Chris because he once told me that some crappy band is better than Aerosmith. Which was it? My Morning Jacket
My
or something?
My Morning Jacket is... definitely better than
Aerosmith. So we'll find out. We'll talk fantasy baseball, and you know, we'll have a grand old time. Walk up music, things like that. Adam, Chris, and Heath here for fantasy baseball today on Tuesday, June 7th. What happened to that Royals stack last night?
They did not score well. Did you see the way they scored their only run?
No.
They hit a double play ball. But it was Dyson that hit it, so it wasn't really a double play ball.
Oh, right. And you know, I read about it.
John Scope catches the ball at second, goes to turn the double play, and I guess decided that he couldn't get Dyson at first. So halfway into his throw, he tries to stop throwing and instead just spikes the ball into Chesler Cuthbert's elbow. And the ball bounces like 30 feet up in the air. In the background of the highlight, you see Chris Davis, and his face just goes, oh, it was awful.
But what a weird play.
At least they scored a run.
All right, well, Danny Duffy, look, we got to talk about that. James Paxton was throwing about 300 miles per hour last night, and he had a very good start. Trevor Bauer said, take that, Chris Towers. You insulted me off the air yesterday. You said I have iffy control.
He does have iffy control.
Yeah, well, he was in control yesterday. So email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We start with an email of the day. It's from Dave. Since it was funny that you, Adam, you and Al mentioned the song Your Love by The Outfield in relation to Blake Swihart. By the way, do you like that song, Chris?
Sure, it's fine.
Heath?
I have no idea.
Right, so here's the thing. Heath doesn't know anything about music.
You know that song?
He doesn't know anything. He can't name three Billy Joel songs.
Billy Joel's awful.
We'll agree to disagree on
that one. Okay.
I am staunchly pro Billy Joel.
Right.
Not counting his like River of Dreams, Uptown Girl crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Uptown Girl would probably be one of the first ones I would have named.
Well, that's why you don't like Billy Joel.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Dave goes on to say, that's Charlie Blackman's walk-up song, Your Love by The Outfield, and he has them cut it off before the word tonight, and the entire stadium sings the word tonight as he steps into the batter's box. It's pretty cool. If you get a chance, look at one of his at-bats while in Coors. That is cool.
That is cool.
Speaking of that.
Uh-huh.
We have had a debate on the Daily Fantasy Live show about how you're supposed to pronounce the brand name Coors. And I was watching commercial last night. Going to play the commercial for you later in the day. It is a Coors commercial where they pronounce the name of the brand Coors.
Instead of Coors?
Who decides how it's pronounced?
I would say that the commercial.
The brand.
No.
The brand decides.
You're
how
probably
it's
talking about the one with what's his name? Bob Elliott, the old cowboy guy who's got that.
Oh, yeah, that you can't. If it's a voiceover.
It's the banquet beer.
Yeah, that's right.
This is not the banquet beer.
When William Coors founded
so
Coors.
What you're saying is there's multiple Coors commercials calling it Coors.
I'm saying that it's an affectation and it's Coors.
Coors.
Anyway, what would your walk-up
the
music
Irish
be?
The Irish 90s band was not called the Coors.
The Coors. I was listening
Coors.
To them the other day. Would
yeah,
you
they're
that?
Irish. Coors
you're
is
you're Irish.
It's American. What would your walk-up music be?
I'll go with, just to go with the theme of what's coming up later in the show, maybe the greatest Aerosmith song.
Oh, okay.
I want the Run
DMC
remix of Walk This Way.
Yeah, okay. That's it. That's the list. Of
that's the best Aerosmith song. All right. How about yours, Chris?
Something by Taylor Swift, obviously. Bad Blood, 22, Style, any really. Fearless. Okay.
That's perfect.
Hey, Steven.
I think I would go with My Hero by the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
Nice intro, good drums, bass.
Yeah, the
combo.
Drums are good
yeah,
in that
right?
one, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. All right, so let's get to the show here. Pro Far, Pro Good, which of course is a play on words of So Far, So Good, which of course is whose greatest hits album? Bryan Adams, of course. Bryan Adams. So
Seriously,
far, so
this
good.
Is where we're outstanding, going with the show. Like, I do know some album. Things about music, but just not the Elton John, Billy Joel, Bryan Adams.
Whoa, don't throw. Do not. Like, look.
You got your Rolling Stones, The Who, Bryan Adams. I love it. All right, so Jurickson and Profar, he led off. He played second base. Rougned Odor DH had a great game. Profar went 1-for-5, I believe. He tripled. Prince Fielder played first base. Mitch Moreland, who's batting 206 this year, has been really bad against both righties and lefties. Mitch Moreland sat. So anyway, Jurickson and Profar, you know, we talked a lot about it yesterday, but I just don't see how you could justify not picking up Jurickson and Profar in anything deeper than a 10-team league.
So you think he's must-own in 12-team leagues?
If I don't think he's available in our podcast league. I guess I should have checked.
Right.
But yes, I do. I would drop Addison Russell for him right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that he can be must-own in 12-team. Like, from what I can tell, and I understand why he's playing every day right now, he's hot. The Rangers are going with the famed hot hand method, and they've got two players that suck right now in Prince Fielder and Mitch Moreland.
I think there's a good chance one of those guys at least is going to suck for the rest of the year. And, okay. And they're a World Series contender, at least in their eyes.
And there's no chance that Jurickson and Profar is going to go back to sucking again.
I mean, no. You would bet on the 23-year-old who was the number one prospect in baseball 2 years ago over the, let's see, Mitch Moreland is 30, Prince Fielder is 32. You would bet on those guys having shown nothing so far being worse than Profar.
You
okay.
have to.
You would?
This is why I also thought Joey Gallo was worth picking up, even though it looked like it was only going to be for a short time, because at some point they've got to just play the guys who can actually play.
And they called up Gallo and didn't even play him. Now they've called up Profar, and they're batting him leadoff every single game, and he's hitting. And I'll compare it to Brandon Drury, but obviously Profar, much better talent. You had to pick up Drury. He was playing every day, and he was producing. And he stopped producing, and now you cut him. But I don't know how you don't pick up Jurickson Profar. You wouldn't drop Addison Russell for him?
I don't like Addison Russell at all. I have him on none of my teams, so it's hard to... But I don't know. I don't think I would, probably.
All right, Chris, you kind of more on my side?
Yeah, I just think, like, I'm hoping the better angels of the Astro or the Rangers' nature takes over, and they just realize, like, gotta stop playing Prince Fielder at some point.
And Mitch Moreland, like, I think, is more likely.
It's not like some guarantee that Jurickson Profar is good the rest of the year.
No, but nothing is a guarantee, though. Right. But how do you not take a chance on that upside?
Because I think most managers trust veterans over rookies.
They trust him enough to bat him leadoff every single game.
It's been a good night. It's a nice hot streak.
I don't know. This is what you were saying about Trevor Story. The guy's, if he's a good prospect and he's a good hitter and he's hitting well, like at some point you have to buy in. And you could end up being right about Trevor Story down the line. He struck out 88 times or something like that. He might end up really struggling, but we'll talk more about him, actually. He's in the notes in connection with another Aerosmith song. Upside.
There's definitely a lot more upside for Profar. I don't think, the list of managers that sit Prince Fielder or Mitch Moreland every day for the rest of the year so that Jurickson and Profar can play every day, as long as Profar keeps hitting like this, yes, that list's pretty long. As soon as Profar goes through a slump, which he's probably going to,
sure, yeah, but definitely will.
They're gonna put Mitch Moreland. Like, I don't know, those guys haven't been good, and there's reason to believe that they won't be that good. All right, agree to disagree, just like Billy Joel. Closing time is our next song, and let's talk about the Astros. Oh yeah, I'm liking Will Harris even more now. Both Michael Feliz and Ken Giles were bad yesterday, but Luke Gregerson was good. He pitched a scoreless inning and got 2 strikeouts. Now Giles, if you look at his last 5 appearances, has given up 10 hits in 5 2/3, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. Chris, your read on the Astros bullpen?
I think Luke Gregerson is probably their 4th-best reliever. I would hope at some point I guess the way he's pitched over the last year, you probably hope it's Will Harris that gets the job, but any of those guys getting an opportunity, I would rather see than Luke Gregerson.
Do you think Gregerson's their 4th-best? Because his season-long numbers still look better than Giles, right?
Sure. I think Ken Giles is better.
Okay.
Like, I know he had a bad April, and he's been bad over the last week, but, like...
He was good in May.
I still think Ken Giles is just a better pitcher.
Okay.
And Will Harris is 33% owned. Ken Giles is 37% owned. I don't know. I'd bet on Harris if... If we were going to own two of them, I think I'd want to own Harris and Gregerson. You can't own everybody, right?
Yeah.
No, you can't. You can't.
Maybe Harris and Giles. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I would guess all four of these guys are going to get a save this season.
Well,
probably a good guess.
Who's gonna lead the team in saves from this point forward?
Ugh.
What am I missing here? How is Will Harris not the obvious answer?
Because he hasn't gotten the opportunity yet.
He did on Sunday.
He got one save.
Yeah, and Giles was unavailable. So you're right. It's not a.
It's just. I mean, look. They made a pretty crappy trade to get Ken Giles. So like, you also do feel like, for a lot of the same reasons why Heath doesn't believe the Rangers are going to bench Prince Fielder, you're kind of pot committed to that guy.
And like, I'm okay with the idea that Prince Fielder's done and he's just not going to be good anymore. I'm not sold on the idea that the Rangers believe that.
So, everybody go to podcastawards.com and vote for fantasy football today. You have just a few days left. Please vote every single day. Stay tuned for our thoughts on Matt Shoemaker, Michael Fulmer. By the way, Heath, you and Yankees broadcaster Michael Kay have a lot in common. You both say Schumacher.
No, I say Schumacher.
Oh, you say Schumacher.
I say Schumacher.
Yes.
All right, well, you have a lot in common then. Fulmer,
I'm bad at pronouncing names.
Shoemaker, Schumacher, and Chris Archer, of course, we'll talk about. John Lester's having a great year.
Cobbler.
Jan Hervé-Solarte. Who?
Cobbler.
Who's that?
I'm just call Matt Shoemaker Cobbler. Cobbler's a person who makes shoes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what the read gets interrupted for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop what you're doing right now, everybody. Go to a computer. Type in this. BlueApron.com/FBT, as in fantasy baseball today. BlueApron.com/FBT. Amazing free offer. More on that in a minute. I started Blue Apron last week. I have not stopped raving about it since. New meals, great ingredients, easy to make, and delicious. And the key with Blue Apron is the ingredients. Fresh, high-quality ingredients that taste better and are better for you. Shipped right to your front door. That's what you get with Blue Apron, and it takes less than 40 minutes to prepare a meal. My fiance and I, we cooked together last week, which we never do. It was a lot of fun. We ate three great dinners last week, and Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, so they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. So whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, yeah, you're going to eat some pretty awesome stuff, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best, and it's for less than 10 bucks per meal. You get a delivery of seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. So we wanted to eat new things, eat healthier, eat better. We did that with Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get your two meals free. Two free meals with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FBT. You will love how good it feels, tastes, and how great it is to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. That's blueapron.com/FBT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Here are your Aerosmith songs.
Boo.
I narrowed it down to three.
Okay.
I love Aerosmith, by the way. Seen them four times.
I've never seen them.
What don't you like about Aerosmith? I don't understand.
I think they're boring.
They're boring.
I think they had a really nice career. 70s... late 70s Aerosmith.
Oh, if they were one of those bands that had like broken up in 1993, I'd probably be okay with Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think about the Get a Grip album with Crying, Amazing, Crazy, Living on the Edge?
Those are all the same song, right?
Some of them are, y'all,
like,
yeah.
Like Crying, the other one, what
Crazy,
was it?
Crazy, Amazing.
Those, they were all the same song.
What made them different is remembering the music videos for each of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And those were some
pretty... But like, even that, they're the same music video. They all have Liv really Tyler in various situations,
right? No, they all have
right?
Alicia Silverstone.
Or Alicia Silverstone, yes. Right, yeah. So
Crazy
like,
has
there
Liv
was a little
Tyler.
Liv Tyler, too.
And Crazy, yeah.
Wow.
Tremendous music video. Yes. Living on the Edge, though, was not like that at all. That was a great song. Eat the Rich is a great one. That's a
Living on
tremendous.
The Edge is a pretty bad song.
No, it's not. Living on the Edge is great.
We're living on the edge.
Well, that
of
is
a
one of our
podcast
songs
right now.
So I'm going to ask you to put an Aerosmith title on all three. On all of these pitchers that I mentioned. Are they most like? I don't want to miss a thing, which is a must start.
terrible.
Not a great song. Live It on the Edge, which is a risky start. Or Dream On. Not interested.
But Dream On's like a...
That's the only good song you mentioned.
It doesn't matter. It's nothing to do with that. So I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, which is a must start. Living on the Edge, which is a risky start. Or Dream On, not interested. J-Hap.
Dream On.
What?
Yeah, Living on the Edge. He's fine.
Not interested in J-Hap?
Yeah.
Like, in what context? 12-team league.
I mean, he's a fine streaming option if he has a good matchup.
That's all you think?
I
don't know where the strikeouts went. 48 and 75 and two-thirds.
That's bad. That's really bad.
Yeah. But this was only his second bad start of the year. Everything else has been good. All right. Michael Fulmer.
Living on the Edge.
Risky start.
I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Oh, okay. Must start. Let's talk about this, guys. This is four awesome starts in a row. So let's say 28 and a third, 11 hits, one earned run, seven walks, 27 strikeouts in his last four starts.
He was the thing I like about Michael Fulmer, and the reason we talked about how some of these pitching prospects that have so much more upside than him came up and have sucked, and he came up and we weren't really that excited about him when he came up, and he's been good right away. And the little bit that I've watched of him, it seems like he really knows how to pitch, which is not a thing that you can really measure in, like, by scouts see it, but looking at his minor league statistics, you can't really see that the guy knows.
Well, we do bring this up all the time, but just he did struggle a little bit at first, but then he started throwing his changeup.
Yeah.
And was watching the broadcast last night, and I guess it wasn't that he didn't have a changeup, it's that he didn't believe in it, or I don't know. He started throwing it, and it's been really good. Now he's got three pitches.
He showed good pitchability last night.
He did show good
pitch. Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to thrive as a two-pitch pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
If the third pitch is legit, then but that doesn't mean I think he's like a must start every time out.
Is he must own Michael Fulmer?
Yeah.
Is he going to be the best rookie pitcher this year?
Most likely. I mean, so far.
So you're buying in, like, would you Tyler Glasnow or Michael Fulmer? Who would you rather have?
Well, are you telling me Glasnow got called up and he's starting tomorrow?
Okay, yes. Hypothetically, yes.
Then I'd probably rather have Glasnow.
And Taillon?
Yeah.
Same thing.
But right now, you'd rather have Fulmer.
Yeah,
right, of course.
Here, and like, it's not clear which of Taillon or Glasnow is going to get the call first.
Would you rather have Michael Fulmer or Vince Velasquez? Please don't even say Vince Velasquez.
Fulmer definitely doesn't have the upside Velasquez does.
I moved Fulmer up today, but I didn't move him up to where I have Velasquez.
Where's Fulmer?
Right around 60, I think.
Okay.
I moved him ahead of Yordano, ahead of that group of pitchers that I thought were kind of good but just haven't actually been, right behind John Gray.
Okay. Colby Lewis. I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. What were they again? Live It on the Edge or Dream On?
Dream On.
Yeah.
I don't believe
he's going to be one of the first people you drop when he has like two bad starts in a row. When?
He's got 10 quality starts, second most in baseball for Colby Lewis.
You should have used him in For the People podcast.
Yeah, Kershaw. He does have that skill of giving you a quality start. Did it last year, too. But, okay. All right, he's 80% owned. How about Matt Shoemaker? I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, Living on the Edge, or Dream On? 75% owned Matt Shoemaker.
Can we change I Don't Want to Miss a Thing to Must Own?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then I'll go, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Yeah, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. I think he's definitely must own. Just not must start.
All right. So,
but I did start him this week with two starts.
It's more important to give fantasy analysis than to play the Aerosmith game, so I do appreciate that you clarify. That's good stuff. Shoemaker, 7 2/3, 8 hits, 4 runs, no walks, 6 strikeouts, 2 homers at the Yankees. And it was a really, really good start until late. 6 scoreless innings, and then he gave up back-to-back solo home runs. And then he gave up back-to-back singles in the 8th inning.
But one of them was like a bloop single.
Yeah, right? And Mike Trout probably should have had it. In fact, Shoemaker was pretty angry that he didn't have it, and that would have ended the inning. Instead, they bring in a reliever. The reliever serves up a 3-run homer, and all of a sudden, it's not a quality start, and it's not a win. In fact, it's a loss for Shoemaker.
And let's be clear. Matt Shoemaker doesn't have that much room to get mad at Mike Trout.
I know.
For
I know.
But his pitch count was low. I get why they left him in. He only finished with 93 pitches in 7 2/3, and that was after giving up 2 hits in the 8th.
Yeah, well, he's just been a strike throwing machine. 0 walks in his last 4 starts, and they've all been at least 7 innings, I believe.
Yeah, I feel like it's still a little bit Heath and I were talking about this in the office the other day. It feels a little kind of not fluky, but like I feel he's almost like a knuckleballer because he's throwing his splitter so much, and it's kind of the only good pitch that he has. That it's like if batters figure it out, it's probably not going to work anymore.
Do you have the data from last night? I feel like he threw it often, but less frequently.
He threw it. 40 times on 93 pitches, so that's roughly 45%.
But that's less than last time out.
That's more in line with the previous three starts rather than last time out when he was like 62%.
Right. All right, so would you rather have Steven Wright or Matt Shoemaker?
Shoemaker.
I think I'd probably rather have Steven Wright. I never have any amount of certainty when it comes to knuckleballers.
Trivia Tuesday.
Do it.
Very important. These are the top five pitchers in WAR this season, according to Baseball Reference. Number one, Clayton Kershaw. Number three, Jake Arrieta. Number four, Noah Syndergaard. Number five, Jose Fernandez.
Those all sound like the people you'd expect.
You know the answer. Adam, who is number two?
Steven Wright.
It is not.
Who's number? Rich Hill.
Nope.
All right, I'll take one more guess, and I will say...
Looks like this is National League pitchers.
Oh, it's not Bumgarner?
Nope. No, he's ninth.
Tyler Chatwood?
Tyler Chatwood.
Bumgarner's a bum.
The only pitcher other than Clayton Kershaw with three WAR this season in the National League.
Well, Tyler Chatwood threw eight innings of one run, one hit ball at the Dodgers with four walks and five strikeouts. He only has 49 Ks in 77 and a third. Chatwood is 72% owned. And actually, his last three home starts have been okay. One of them kind of bad, but nothing terrible. But on the road, Chatwood's 5-0 with a .65 ERA. Chatwood, I don't want to miss a thing. Must own. Living on the edge, kind of risky. Or dream on, not interested.
Oh, I think he's definitely living on the edge just because half of his starts, he's unstartable. But I've made an effort to have John Gray on several rosters, and I think Chatwood probably belongs really close to the same range.
But he doesn't strike anybody out.
No, I think John Gray's a lot better.
Okay.
I would much rather own John Gray.
But maybe Chatwood's just pitching more pitchability right now.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
Is John Gray, I mean, 72% owned, it's a two-start week, but is he the kind of guy that if you picked him up for a two-start week, you're okay dropping him for
Gray?
Someone else? Yeah, John Gray. No, last sorry. Tyler Chatwood. Chatwood, my bad.
Yeah, I mean, I've had Chatwood on my team and off my team and on my team and off my team.
Okay. That makes sense. Next up, Trevor Bauer, 51% owned. And he's got, as a starter, a .367 ERA, 17 walks, 43 strikeouts, and 49 innings. I was reading in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Dennis Maniloff. Sorry, yep. Maniloff, sure. The guy who can't pronounce anybody's name telling me that.
No, that's his name.
Sounds right. He raved about this start from Trevor Bauer, and it was, you know, arguably the best start of his career. What do you make of that? Is he up to must-own, I don't want to miss a thing territory?
I think he's still living on the edge. Getting closer to moving up to the next category, but I don't quite buy it yet.
He has been paired with Bauer has been paired with Chris Jimenez as his catcher. They've been speeding up his tempo on the mound a little bit, according to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. That's been helping.
That feels like one of those, like, I've just got to be aggressive kind of things. Like, every pitcher wants to pitch faster, and when they do and they pitch well, they attribute it to that. I'm questionable about whether that actually...
We need to run a study, because they have tempo now.
Yeah.
On Fangraphs, where you can see how long between pitches. And, like, I feel like better pitchers usually pitch fast.
Probably.
And worse pitchers usually pitch slow.
Yeah, I mean...
Not always.
Not always.
Better.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see.
It's entirely possible.
I am not going to do the research. You can do that. So, I've given you Fulmer, Shoemaker, Chatwood, and Bauer. How would you rank those four?
Fulmer, Shoemaker, Bauer, Chatwood.
Fulmer, Shoemaker, Bauer, Chatwood.
Yeah, I think so.
How about James Paxton? He's only 12% owned. He struck out 10 Indians, three runs, but one earned run in six innings, coming off a dreadful start at San Diego, and was really throwing like consistently 98, 99 miles per hour. It was crazy. Yeah.
No, consistently over 100. If you look at his...
Really?
If you look at his pitch effects on Brooks Baseball, look how many pitches are over 100. That's like at least a dozen, probably more.
So should we buy in? Should we take a shot at this?
I think you have to. Just like with Danny Duffy, you're looking at two pitchers whose velocity has jumped on average 2 to 3 miles per hour from last season to this. What?
When you say have to, you don't think James Paxton's must own.
I think if you have Tyler Chatwood, I would rather take a flyer on James Paxton.
But who does he stay in the rotation when Felix Hernandez comes back?
Are we really sure Wade Miley's like locking down that rotation spot with his 5.13 ERA?
I got to be honest, I've always loved James Paxton. I had a man crush on him.
We know that.
And I was not necessarily moved to pick him up in any leagues last night or this morning.
Right.
I want to see a little more.
I think he's a nice speculative ad, but I don't think I don't think Duffy's must own either.
When I'm looking at the last spot on my roster, I don't care about a Tyler Chatwood type.
Sure.
I care about a guy who is averaging 97.6 miles per hour with his fastball right now as a start. And it's only two starts, but like that's not really something that like you don't fluke your way into 98.
I don't think he threw that fast against the Padres, though.
It was up pretty significantly in that start as well from where it might not have been this much up, but it was definitely up from where he had been in the past. Like
okay, then it's interesting.
I was looking at it.
Well, it didn't work as well against the Padres.
Sure, yeah, he had one, but he still had 7 strikeouts in those 4 1/3. Like it, you know.
Well, he had 7 strikeouts in how many batters?
3 2/3, by the way.
Sure. what'd you say? 30 yesterday?
That was a guess.
Okay.
I totally made that number up, actually.
All right, so Paxton. How about this? Who would you like to own in this group? Paxton, Mike Fiers, Danny Duffy, or Christian Friedrich?
I would put Duffy at the top, followed very, very closely by Paxton. I'm not interested. Like, Christian Friedrich's not going to get to pitch against the Braves again anytime soon, and I don't think Mike Fiers is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely drop Mike Fiers for Paxton. Duffy's interesting because it doesn't appear like he can pitch deep into games.
He
struggled 3 starts in a row now against the White Sox. I don't remember who the last with the Rays. And now this game, as soon as it gets to the 5th or the 6th inning, he starts struggling.
That's not true at all.
It is 100% true. I just looked at the box scores this morning.
He did. I think the 3rd time through the rotation, the order is what we talked about.
Yeah.
And he did give up a solo home run to Mark Trumbo, who leads the majors in home runs. And he gave up a solo home run to Matt Wieters. In between those two things, he struck out Manny Machado for the 3rd time in the game.
He gave up 2 home runs. I don't care what he does in between that. He gave up 2 home runs. It's 3 starts in a row.
He had 2 home runs in 6 and a third.
And they talked about it.
And that was the 7th inning.
Okay. All right, fine. But so he pitched 6 innings. He only threw like 80 pitches. Yeah, so he's getting there very quickly.
He hasn't thrown 80 pitches. Like more than 80 pitches yet in his 5 starts.
Right.
Is that a result of him tiring out? Because this is something that we've talked about also is that
like, I don't really
he's
care.
He's pitching in, well, sure you do, because nobody gets through 6 innings every time on 80 pitches. Nobody does. So if we think he's probably an 80 to 85 pitch guy, because like we've talked about, he's starting, but he's working like a reliever.
Right.
He's throwing out of the stretch. He's throwing 3 pitches. He's simplified his mix. He's going max effort. So,
Danny Duffy.
Danny Duffy.
Yeah. So if you're wondering what that pause was about, I know we get a lot of don't say he. So I try to remind people to say last names. And I threw Chris off his game. I apologize.
You derailed my train of thought.
No, but I agree with you.
If we acknowledge that he is pitching as a max effort from the start, it could make him a better pitcher, and I think that's what we've seen. But it also could make it so that 85 pitches he's spent
And that could have been what happened last night.
He's been able to get through 6 innings each in the last 2. He got through 5 in the one before that, or 4 2/3. But that's not going to happen most of the time. Most pitchers need 90-plus pitches to get through 6 innings.
I don't think that's
like it's absolutely
he's
true.
Averaging 14 pitches per inning, I think.
Yeah.
When he was really bad in a Reddick, he was averaging 17 pitches per inning.
Adds up.
It's just
right. 17 pitches per inning is right around 96 pitches for 6 innings.
Mm-hmm. That's probably pretty average.
No, I don't think it is because that's when he was bad. That's when he was walking 3.5-4 batters
Most
per inning.
Most pitchers aren't throwing more than 6 innings per start. They're throwing like 6 1/3 per start.
But we want
Most
to
pitchers
penalize
going,
Duffy because we don't think he can throw more than 6 inches per
I just think that it's reasonable that he can't effectively pitch the 3rd time through the order.
No.
I'm
penalizing it because I don't think he's going to get to the 6th inning on 80 pitches every time. And if we think he's going to just run out of steam at 80, 85 pitches, then he's not going to start getting it. He's not going to have success getting to the sixth inning every time.
All right. Next up, let's move on from pitchers. We've got a lot of hitters to talk about. We got some news for you. Same old song and dance. Same old story. Same old song and dance, my friend. That's a great Aerosmith song. Hope you like it. Trevor Story set the rookie record with 16 home runs before the All-Star break. And by the way, we have about a month before the All-Star break, so yep. He's going to completely obliterate the rookie record. Story is the number 7 shortstop in points leagues, number 5 in Roto. He's batting .262 with 16 home runs. He has 81 strikeouts in 55 games. A couple things about Story. On the road, he has an .861 OPS. At home, it's .898. So he has not been a home road guy, not Coors Field product. And if you look at what, you know, he hit 10 home runs in April. If you look at what Story's done since May 1st, he's batting .263 with 6 home runs in 33 games, 8 walks, 44 strikeouts. So it feels like he's been cold, but he's the number 11 shortstop in both formats in that stretch. Actually, that's so kind of encouraging that he hasn't had a great month, or I guess it's about 5 weeks now, and he's still been top 12 at what's actually been a pretty good position.
Yeah. Yeah, I think probably what he's been since May 1st is what he is.
Yeah.
So, because you're also cutting out the two worst weeks of his season at the end of April, where he kind of had an adjustment period. So I think it's fair to get rid of his awesome start and get rid of those major struggles and just look since May 1st. Of course, months are just artificial constructs. So I don't know if that's really fair, but...
No, that was a good Chris Towers impersonation.
Thank you.
No, I absolutely agree. And you look at it, like, the plate discipline's awful, but that's still a 27 homer pace since May 1st, over 150 games.
Is it crazy for me to even ask this? In a roto league, would you rather have Jonathan VR or Trevor Story?
I don't think it's crazy.
If you needed steals, would you make that deal? Is that fair?
No.
Give up Story to get VR?
You can get more than VR for Story. No one believes what he's doing, and he's got a BABIP like .450 or something. He's not going to get on bases much, which is going to lead to less stolen bases.
He has been walking a lot lately, though.
Yeah, he has walked a lot.
VR,
not Story.
No, right. Story's walks.
He's hacking. He's going up there and hacking.
Yeah. All right, let's do a Bon Jovi reference. Keep the Faith. You like that song?
Why wouldn't you use Living on a Prayer, which is like their best song?
Because this is about faith. This is about who you have faith in.
This is about, like, we have a prayer they might be better again.
I've got three guys.
These guys are living on a prayer.
Who rank them in terms of how much...
You should have gone the Bryan Adams reference on this one.
With what?
With the Blue Jays guys.
What song?
He's Canadian.
Yeah, so what? I can't just say Bryan Adams is the category. Let's talk about Blue Jays.
Everything I do for you.
All right, fine. Keep the faith. Who do you have faith in? Rank them in terms of how much faith you have in them rest of season. Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, and Josh Donaldson.
Well, Donaldson number one. Because
really?
He's the youngest of the three.
Thumb injury? What injury does he have right now? It's a thumb, I think. That's why I brought it up.
Okay.
Because he is playing through an injury.
I would still bet on him. Like, Bautista and Encarnacion are both guys before the season we thought, you know, this could be... They're going to hit the wall at some point. It's not, like, crazy to suggest that. So I would bet on Donaldson.
I'll go Donaldson, Bautista, E5.
Interesting. You know, Bautista has turned it on. Last 20 games, he's batting only .267. I think that's what's really standing out. The batting averages are very low. He's batting .267, but he has 13 walks, 10 strikeouts, and 6 home runs in 20 games. And Encarnacion has 9 home runs in 33 games, but 15 walks, 27 strikeouts. Not a bad ratio, but it's actually bad for him.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if Encarnacion might be a low batting average guy this year. He's never been great at that.
Right. I think it's very possible. Yeah. And I thought it was interesting. I actually ran a Twitter poll yesterday.
This is what inspired me, by the way.
Yes. Only 10% of respondents thought that Josh Donaldson would be the number one third baseman from this point forward. He was the consensus number 4 pick.
I voted, by the way.
Who'd you vote for?
Arenado. It was Arenado, Machado, or Donaldson. Who's going to be number one at third base? I voted Arenado.
Arenado won the poll right around 50%, but Machado was a clear number 2.
I mean, the way I understand it is the biggest thing would be that the Blue Jays offense isn't quite as good as we expected it, and he was the number one third baseman because he drove in 127 runs or whatever it was last season.
He also,
he was awesome. Yeah. But like
the thumb injury that he's playing through, if somebody could double check and make sure it's a thumb, it's just on his, it's on his player page. It's worrying me a little bit, but I think what happens is these guys play through injury. It affects them for a little while, and then they get over it, and they're fine. Huey Lewis and the injuries news and notes, part one.
See, now this is a good man.
Thank you. Washington sent Trey Turner back to the minors as Ryan Zimmerman returned from paternity leave.
Yeah. Stupid.
Stash Trey Turner. St. Louis sent Colton Wong to AAA.
That's fine.
Cut.
Yeah, that's all right. Danny Salazar is going to have his turn skipped because he has shoulder fatigue. So right now, Salazar is scheduled to pitch Sunday instead of Wednesday. Yahoo Sports reported that Cleveland could have some serious concerns about Michael Brantley. You know, he's had these shoulder injuries, so it could be a long-term thing. They haven't said that, but Jorge Soler left with a hamstring injury. What kind of effect does this have on the lineup? Because he's getting an MRI, and it could be bad for Soler. If he goes on the DL, what do fantasy owners need to know?
I assume we're going to see Javier Baez every day.
Yeah.
And
I'm not sure. I guess he'd be worth more of a pickup than he has been, but I don't know. What we've seen so far hasn't been super promising.
Maybe a little bit more Max's...
Caesar?
Is that how you realized? I thought it was sure.
Caesar.
Oh, I just assumed it was Matt.
I like my way better.
Yeah, Matt Sure. He's not very fantasy relevant. Whit Merrifield, though, he doubled yesterday. So
not surprising.
Yeah. Julio Teheran, Jake Odorizzi, and Masahiro Tanaka are tied for the league lead with seven outings of two or fewer earned runs and zero wins in those outings. So that's Teheran, Odorizzi, and Tanaka.
That makes sense. They all pitch for terrible teams.
Terrible offenses. Mark Teixeira is going to be out at least 3 weeks. I mean, that is like so optimistic. It could be season ending. We don't know if he needs surgery.
Could be career.
Yeah, could.
No, he's got money coming next year. He'll be back.
He could still get the money if he's... Well, you mean he'd retire?
Yeah, you can't, he can't retire. He's got to try to rehab at least.
No, actually, I think he's a free agent.
I think he's got one more year left. Okay. I think he becomes a free agent the same year that Eric Hosmer becomes a Yankee.
All right. Travis d'Arnaud started a rehab assignment. I just got that, by the way. That was good. Charlie Blackmon has reached base in 32 straight games.
He's good.
You know what's great? We don't care about on-base streaks. We care about hitting streaks. Why? Because walking is lame. Because all this OBP, get on base. Hitting is where it's at. Hitting streaks are cool. OBP streaks, on-base streaks, they're fine. They're whatever.
By the way, your next song...
Uh-huh.
Now that's some Chris Towers.
Yeah, all right. We'll get to that in a second. Here's a deep league target maybe to put on people's radars. Brandon McCarthy, Dodgers starting pitcher, is going to begin a rehab assignment within a week. What kind of a league might you be interested in McCarthy?
NL only?
That's it?
For now. Last time we saw him, his, if I remember correctly, his velocity was up. His strikeout rate was up. Now he was getting a little... he was getting kind of Michael Pineda'd, if I remember correctly.
So you're talking about him with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
He was terrible with the Dodgers, gave up a ton of home runs, and then he had Tommy John. But with the Yankees, he was 7-5 with a 2.89 ERA in 90 innings. He walked 13 and struck out 82. He was awesome for half a season, and then he got that big deal from the Dodgers and had Tommy John.
But he had a 3.55 FIP in 2014. And I'm pretty sure his velocity was up in both 2014 and 15. Yeah, he was throwing 93, 94.
I was shocked when McCarthy got traded to the Yankees how good his stuff was.
Yeah.
And I forgot exactly what it was, but they changed his pitch repertoire with the Yankees. He hadn't been using the pitches effectively, and he became a much better pitcher. And then he got Tommy John. So keep it in mind. Chicago, the Cubs, they are the fastest team to 40 wins since the 2001 Mariners. And Ketel Marte returned. He is 58% owned. Marte stole his sixth base last season. Last night, he went 1-for-3. All right, next up, a couple of two catcher league targets. And the song of the day, Piazza New York Catcher. A nice little ditty.
There's no way you've ever heard this one.
No.
Nope.
It's a good one. You should listen to it. Bell and Sebastian. Piazza
one
New
of
York
my
catcher.
Favorite bands.
You guys made that up.
Dude, better than Aerosmith.
You've heard this. Shut up. You've heard the song Your Cover's Blown by Bell and Sebastian. Is that not one of the most underrated songs in world history?
They are terrific. I believe they would be categorized as twee.
Twee?
What?
Twee pop.
What is that?
That sounds like exactly something you guys
No, they're
be
good. They're
discussing.
Clever. And that's more of a Chris thing than me, but I like them.
One of my favorite bands in the world.
Who would you rather own in a two-catcher league, Tommy Joseph or James McCann?
Tommy Joseph.
James McCann recently eliminated a leg kick, and it is paying dividends.
It's another one of those things.
It's magic.
Like,
I just wanted to bring it up.
No, no, I'm not criticizing you. Players bring it up all the time. David Wright had a great one early in the season where he said, I got rid of the leg kick, and now I'm hitting again. Next time I go in a slump, I'll probably bring the leg kick.
Okay. So you'd rather have Tommy Joseph, who did homer, yeah, and as I learned yesterday, catcher eligible. Let's talk about these pitchers. Chris Archer, John Lester, Masahiro Tanaka. Where are you on Archer after 6 innings, 3 runs, 12 strikeouts, but also 3 walks and 2 homers?
Hey, man. As long as he doesn't have to face pitchers. You see, Robbie Ray crushed that one yesterday.
Robbie Ray took him yard.
Did he homer?
Robbie Ray crushed it. It was a no-doubter, too.
14 home runs this year off Archer and 72 and a third.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty convinced at this point he's not going to be an ace, but I still, I do view him as a buy low. It's just I'm not viewing him as, a potential top 15 pitcher like we did before the season.
No, I've got him right around 25th.
Yeah.
I really was fairly encouraged by the fact that he struck out 12 last night against a decent offense. I was going to move him up, and then I couldn't find anybody. I definitely wanted to move him ahead.
Do you have Verlander or Archer ahead?
Archer.
Who's 24th?
Carrasco.
Carrasco, Archer, okay.
The guys like Keuchel, I still have 2 spots ahead of him. He could fall behind him tonight.
If Keuchel has a good start tonight, you cannot buy low anymore. Like this would be, if you believe in him, this is your last chance. And it's a tough matchup.
If he had a really good start tonight, Rangers. I might try to sell.
By the way, the Rangers completely own the Astros. They have beaten them 11 in a row at home, and they're 7-0 against them this year. Why would you sell him, Keuchel, if he has a good start tonight?
Well, I mean, there might be somebody that thinks he could be what he was last year again.
And you think that's not a possibility, really?
I don't. I think, everything is possible. There's a non-zero chance that he could be an ace again. but it's just barely non-zero.
Okay. John Lester. We don't usually compare him, throw him in that, this guy or this guy. But he is having a great year, John Lester. He's got a 2.06 ERA, about a strikeout per inning. And has thrown 17 scoreless innings in his last 2 starts against the Phillies and Dodgers. I think, any of those high upside, Keuchel, Archer, they've clearly all fallen behind Lester now.
Yeah, right? I've got Lester 11th.
Yeah, underrated.
Ahead of Gerrit Cole.
He's just been kind of inconsistent in his career. Last season was a good example of it.
Some bad luck last year, though, right?
Sure. But he's not someone that we necessarily think of as, a top 5 pitcher, but he's good. He's always pretty solid.
And to go along with what Scott was saying yesterday, wins matter. He's going to win a lot of games.
He is. Tanaka, on the other hand, can't buy a win. 3-1 with a 2.76 ERA for Tanaka. His last 4 starts, Tanaka's given up 4 earned runs in 27 innings. That's great, but he has 13 strikeouts in 27 innings, and now 59 for the year and 78 and a third. And you do have to watch the days rest thing for Tanaka. He pitches better on 5 days rest than 4 days rest. But overall, he's doing fine. I'm sure his whip is really low. I can look that up. But
1.01.
He's got a great whip. He had a great whip last year. But this year, home runs are way down. He's not giving up home runs. Last year, it was a huge problem.
Down.
That's tremendous. So, I don't know. Where do you guys stand on Tanaka? Is he a must-start guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe if he... I don't even know who I'd sit him against.
You're right. No, he's a must-start guy.
Boston.
Yeah, you'd probably send him against the Red Sox if it was a 1-start week.
Do the lack of strikeouts concern you?
Well, I don't like it, but it's kind of I kind of view him about the same way I view Jordan Zimmermann.
Well, also, he has 13 in his last 27 innings, 59 and 78 overall, so that was... He had 46 and 51 innings before this 4-start stretch, so it's not necessarily terribly concerning.
I don't know. It does feel like a little bit of smoke and mirrors lately because I just don't think he's getting a lot of swings and misses. Okay. I've seen a lot of hard hit outs. I'm not sure if the numbers back that up. Yeah, I don't know. So I'd sell him to a Yankees fan. Yankees fans are very biased.
I will say among 14 pitchers have thrown 100 splitters this season. He is middle of the pack in whiff rate among those 14. He's 7th in whiff rate.
Doesn't mean I'd sell him blanket statement. I'd just sell him to a Yankees fan. You get a lot for Tanaka.
Right.
We actually have an email about that. I'm not sure if I put it in the notes, but we did get an email about people buying their hometown team Which happens. Like, I tried to sell Heath Alcides Escobar. Alcides Escobar is having a bad year when Heath Cummings doesn't want him in a Roto
league. I'm in an NL-only league where I have, like, five Marlins. And luckily, it's, like, all of the good Marlins.
That's good.
But it, you know.
You were able to avoid Giancarlo?
By the way, you have, I think... I think you have Tanaka, Pineda, and Eovaldi in our Memorial Roto League.
I probably need to drop... I don't know.
Who? Oh, Pineda?
Pineda.
Let's see how he does tonight. Yeah.
He's going to be good tonight.
Probably.
Huey Lewis in the Injuries News and Notes Part 2. Yovani Gallardo could pitch for the Orioles on Sunday.
Yay!
The Mets and Pirates are playing a single-admission doubleheader.
Nice.
Would you rather sit through two baseball games or go to three straight movies in a movie theater?
Two baseball games, for sure.
I don't know. It's a day game. It's June. Where is it? Pittsburgh?
Or 4 o'clock in Pittsburgh.
Take the sunscreen. Take your shirt off. Get a tan.
No, because in Pittsburgh, they have this weird thing where at night at like 10:30, these like horrible giant flying bugs come in off the river and just die on the field.
Yeah.
And it's pretty miserable. So I think I'd rather go to the movies. Depends what movies we're seeing also.
I hear Popstar is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could see that. Let's go to the movies.
I don't know if I want to see it three times. I don't know if I like Andy Samberg that
No,
much.
Popstar and two others. Popstar and
TMNT 2.
Sneak preview of
T2.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Now You See Me 2.
There you go.
Is this one of those movie theaters where I can drink alcohol? Because that is one of the
things. Yes, if you can
really
do it at the baseball game,
baseball
sure.
game
hey man,
favor.
If you've got a flask and baggy enough jeans, you can drink alcohol at any movie theater.
I own three flasks.
Yeah. Yoenis Cespedes was in the Mets lineup before the game was rained out. Alex Colomé has pitched in four straight games. He's been great. He hasn't given up a run or a save chance this year. Aroldis Chapman has pitched in three straight games. And I don't know if you noticed, but his walks are down pretty significantly this year. Steve Pierce sat at Arizona. Again, no DH, so I was worried about that, and he sat. And Brandon Drury sat with David Peralta back. Michael Bourne remained in the lineup, batting second. All of a sudden, their outfield depth doesn't look as great.
Yeah.
Tomas isn't really hitting.
Yeah.
Peralta homer, though. Would you rather have Peralta or Carlos Beltran, who's a top 25 outfielder?
I think still Peralta.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about Yonhervis Solarte?
I've
50% of
him. I keep moving him up. This was a guy I think that Al was pretty high on coming
into
the year before he got hurt. And since he's gotten back, he's been everything Al told us he was going to be.
Solarte's batting .329 with four home runs, 16 RBI. He doesn't steal bases, but he has 9 walks to 13 strikeouts and 6 doubles in 20 games.
And he can play almost everywhere.
Yeah, and after the All-Star break last year, Solarte batted .292, .336, .470 with 9 home runs, 15 walks, 25 strikeouts.
What's his ownership percentage?
50.
He must own in Roto just because of all the different places he can play.
But his best format is not Roto because
right.
of the plate discipline, and he doesn't steal. He's not really a home run guy.
I still think he's going to outproduce your bottom-end middle infielders.
Well, you wouldn't take him over Profar, would you?
No.
Would you Steve Pierce or Yonhervis Solarte?
I'm not a huge believer in Steve Pierce continuing to do what he's done, so I'd take Solarte.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Give me some quick DFS advice today.
You know, just stack the Royals. No, that didn't work out so well.
I haven't looked at the slate tonight.
You haven't looked at it at all. Chris is going to play Giancarlo Stanton.
Have to.
Must play?
He's $2,900. This is a $4,000 outfielder at worst.
Yeah, you have to.
And he's going against Pat Dean.
Pat Dean hasn't been that bad.
You haven't been that bad.
I think the starting pitching at top is really interesting.
Okay.
Because you've got Greinke against Tampa, who whiffs a lot. I think you go with him. Cole Hamels throws the ball in the strike zone less than any starting pitcher in baseball.
I don't think I could do Hamels or Keuchel in that game.
And the Astros
feels high scoring to me.
Swing at more pitches out of the strike zone than just about anybody.
That's interesting.
So, and then you got DeGrom against the Pirates, which I kind of like that if he pitches the night game. Because the Pirates are going to rest some players in probably both of those games. This is the way those often work out. I was looking at Cole Hamels has faced the Astros twice this year. In his last matchup against them, he scored 66 fantasy points.
You have to be a little cautious, though, because the Astros are awesome
right
now.
In his start before that, he had 50 fantasy points against them. He's been very good against the Astros.
All right, all right.
As far as hitters go, also, I think Adam Conley against Minnesota, just because I'm required to say
Kyle
that.
Hendricks at the Phillies?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, Heath likes to troll me about being a Marlins homer, but it's really just to cover up his insecurity for being an even bigger Royals homer.
What do you mean?
Exactly.
I was just talking about Adam Conley because he's a young Chris Sale.
Exactly.
I think stacks are probably the Marlins and...
what about the Rockies against Julio Urias?
No, I don't think so. I think this is his first good start.
Okay.
I,
who is Albert Suarez?
Albert Suarez used to be a reliever I think had a very good start against Atlanta.
Yeah.
I would play Boston, but the problem is the Red Sox players are all priced for playing in all these great hitters' parks that they're always playing in.
Yeah.
And now they're playing at San
Francisco. Taking a big-time negative. On the opposite side of that, I don't actually believe Zach Davies is good. And Athletics players get to go to Milwaukee. I would guess Steven Vogt is going to be in most all of my lineups tonight.
And you've got Arizona against Matt Moore. So that's... I don't know about Jake Lamb because he's... I don't think he does well against lefties. But, you know, Goldschmidt was pretty inexpensive yesterday. I imagine he's not that expensive today. So.
Yes, Nemanja Tomas has been crushing lefties this year.
Okay. So let's read some emails. This is from WKH from a few subway stops away from Adam.
That's a little creepy.
Not in the city anymore, so he's actually very far from me.
Maybe he's closer than you think.
30 miles at least. Dear Carlos, Corey, and Manny.
Those are the top three young shortstops in baseball.
I was watching the Duffy start yesterday, and I noticed certain coaches display a pattern of pulling starting pitchers later than they should, and it always ends up hurting my fantasy stats. Duffy should have been pulled before he gave up the second home run to Wieters. Another manager often guilty of doing this is Terry Francona in Cleveland. Yep. If you watch the Kluber starts, he usually is good for 6 or 7 and then unnecessarily gets pushed out for that one extra inning that blows up in his face. Do you ever get frustrated by this, and what can fantasy owners do about it?
I will just say, first off, managers know better than you do. Second...
It's a great point, though, that he makes. It's a great point.
Duffy gassed
Cleveland, that's okay. 100% true. Corey Kluber pitches significantly worse the third time through the order.
And these are their aces. These are their workhorses. They give them the benefit of the doubt. The other pitcher that comes to mind, I'll look it up and see if it's true, but it's Verlander. I feel like Verlander gets left in too long and sometimes gives up runs late. And sometimes they ruin their... You don't get a quality start out of it. Goes up.
Especially with Verlander. I mean, the Tigers' bullpen has been so bad for so long. Justin Verlander at 70% of good Justin Verlander is better than anybody they have to throw in the bullpen.
And yeah. The other thing is, like, we also complain when we perceive managers pulling starters too early. I think we did this with Nate Eovaldi last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were complaining that he got pulled too early. So managers can never win.
Yeah, but at least that's a situation where if Eovaldi gets pulled early, it's because they're going to no-run DMC, and it's a better chance of him getting a win.
How sad are you that you came up with this no-run DMC
I didn't come up with it. I told you.
And it's going to last like 6 weeks.
What was the other one? It was no-run DMC and... what was the other one?
I don't know, but it's only like you've got like 2.5, maybe a month left of it.
Why? Because they're going to trade one?
I would assume they're going to trade Chapman. They should.
Look, the Yankees are bad, but they've got a cake schedule coming up.
It's
so
kind of amazing that they might not be as mediocre as they have with those three guys. Because that's like having...
And their pitching's been good. Well, and that's the weird thing.
It's like having the best pitcher in baseball who only pitches in high leverage situations.
But they've only had Chapman from
gotten 67 innings out of those three guys.
Yeah, well, their hitting is terrible. Okay, Mike says, Dear Paul... Carter and Stewart. Paul Carter and Stewart.
Famous. I don't know. Bass players? No.
What?
I don't know.
All right. So he says, I have a confession. Until this year, I had never played in a points league. I've won daily categories leagues and roto leagues, and I always assumed points leagues would be super easy and low maintenance. But nope, I'm an idiot. I'm 10 weeks in and I'm 1-8. So who are some good points league keepers you would target?
good points league keepers that I would that maybe are not as good this year, I guess.
Yeah.
You would think, I mean, if you're looking at, like, the minors, you would think Trey Turner would be someone that yeah. you could trade for. Doesn't have, like, elite plate discipline, has struck out about 20% of the time in the minors, but that's close to average, and with his speed, with the power there, the lineup that he's supposed to be playing in, he's probably a good choice.
And I like to look for guys that are injured.
Yeah.
You could probably get Michael Brantley really cheap.
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
really good for head.
Especially, if more bad news comes out. Go after somebody like Brantley.
He's already got D. Gordon and A.J. Pollock, he says. I would try to keep those guys.
Yes. Maybe even Mike Moustakas.
By the way, Paul Carter and Stewart are Spin City. Okay, that's the first Spin City reference we've gotten. Jim wants us to grade a trade. He gives up Adam Jones, and he gets Aroldis Chapman in a deep OBP league.
Okay, so Adam Jones a little less valuable in an OBP league.
A lot less valuable. I don't even know how much I'd want him. He's borderline top 30 outfielder to me in a top.
Well, it's probably not. Like, there's probably other categories besides.
Yeah, but what does he do? What does he do? He doesn't steal any bases ever. So the only thing you're going to get.
So he's hitting leadoff.
He's not even hitting.
He's been hitting lately.
Yeah, he's been hitting.
Has he?
Yeah.
I think he has 5 2-hit games since he moved to the leadoff and like 8. Games in the leadoff spot.
Yeah, he's been hitting.
Okay,
including
fine.
A 2-homer game.
All right, fine. Maybe I'm underestimating him, but he's terrible in an OBP.
Yeah,
he's terrible at OBP.
I'll give it a C+ just because it's OBP.
Okay, it's Cody in Ohio. When do you start paying attention to standings? If I'm in last place in a roto league, statistically, what are my chances of making the playoffs? I realize every league is different, but generally speaking, how much weight do you put into the first fourth of a season?
Well,
We're
past that point, unfortunately. We're like a third of the way through now.
Right.
Yeah, those games count. It's not necessarily. It's always a difference between like they count, they matter, but they're not still necessarily 100% indicative of what's going to happen moving forward. If you still believe in the skill set of the guys that you have in the category that are hurting you,
I've got a couple of roto leagues where I'm in this position. Not quite in last, but like I'm in a lot of trouble. And what I've really been, I think you take more chances.
I was about to
you
say
gotta
that.
You got to really take more risks. I'm much more interested in those leagues in starting fringy 2-start pitchers each week because I need something major to happen.
Last year, Scott White, he was trailing. I was winning our Memorial Roto League. I talk about it all the time. It's our auction league. I was winning that league for a while. And then Scott just started destroying. And it was because of two players, I think, Schwarber and Correa.
Yeah.
Two midseason call-ups, and he had them both. And that is why I'm currently in third place. I have like 82 points. Al has like 86 or something, and Scott has like 105. He's got an amazing team. My only chance of winning that league or pulling close, I think I need to take some risks. Even if I might fall out of third place, I don't want to finish in second or third. I want to try to win it. So I have Profar. I have Buxton. I just traded for Dozier. I just traded for DeGrom. So you do have to take some risks. For us, we don't get any money or anything if we finish our second and third. Yeah. The only thing we get is bragging rights. So I'm just going for it. But the lesson of Schwarber and Correa last year, maybe try to get A.J. Reed.
Schwarber and Correa are not walking through that door.
No, but you could get, doesn't have to be that good. But right. Somebody who comes up and just tears it up for the second half, you got to take some chances and hit the lottery.
No, Giancarlo Stanton.
What's that?
Yeah.
You could trade for Giancarlo Stanton.
Yes, you could.
And you could play him in FanDuel tonight.
You definitely could play him on FanDuel tonight. I do take a little bit. I won the Roto League last year, but I don't think, like, when you're only playing for pride, you don't get anything for winning first either. I do think there is a difference in pride between finishing second and third or finishing seventh or eighth.
I agree, but I want to win.
Don't just quit.
I didn't quit.
I'm not saying you quit, but that's what I'm saying to people. Too many people just give up.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not playing for money, you could still beat 10 other guys.
Yeah,
I could talk trash to Chris all year long about how I dominated him and finished 6 spots ahead of him.
Zach wants to know if this is something worth bringing up. Altuve and Arenado had 33 and 34 walks last year, respectively. This year, they're at 29 and 24 already.
Arenado, for one, has definitely been swinging less often. He's always been a very aggressive hitter at the plate. But his swing percentage, the percentage of pitches that he's swung at that he's seen was 54% last season. It's 47% this year. He's swinging at pitches less often, both in the zone and outside of the zone. I think that's probably a situation where pitchers have been avoiding him since the start of last season, and now he's adjusting to them. Waiting on better pitches, plate discipline's always been, in terms of strikeout potential percentage, very good for him. I think
it's significant, though. I mean, it's good, especially Altuve. It's good to see him walking. You know, if you're in an OBP,
he's swinging
league.
Much less. His swing percentage is down 7%. His swing percentage out of the zone's down 7%. He's actually not making as much contact as he was before when he does swing, but that's probably because he's swinging harder.
This year, Altuve's batting average is up 23 points over last year, and his on-base percentage is up 58 points. So that is significant. It's, you know, more and more people playing OBP leagues. Last question. No, this would take too long. Okay. So we're done. Thanks for indulging me in a little musical chairs today. Yeah, we had a light day yesterday, 9 games. We had some fun today. I appreciated it.
You know, you've got the right stuff.
Who is Heath's favorite band? Which country singer is your favorite artist?
Willie?
Willie's number one. Johnny Cash is like right behind him. Dylan's up there. New,
but like
current.
The weird Dylan? Like you're like a Highway 61 guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Current actual playing music. I mean, Willie still is and will be for eternity, but it would be Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah, Sturgill is, as the kids say, dope.
Yeah, I've never heard of him. So, as the kids say, I am not on fleek or whatever they would say.
The kids would not say that.
Sturgill's great.
We out. A's are out. See you later. Mazzara and Parra project to Elimora, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bait that scare ya, Machado.